From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, Christ's Mighty Works of Grace in the City of the Curse. The text is Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through chapter 19, verse 10, the account of the Savior's passage to the city of Jericho on his way to the cross. Even in this city, under the curse of God, the Lord Jesus Christ performed outstanding miracles of healing and bestowing of the grace of salvation upon sinners. Before coming to the text, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report that the Archbishop of Canterbury wants Sharia law in Britain.
A few months ago, a Muslim leader spoke of offering Britain the benefit of adopting Sharia law. Now, Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, has come forward to tell the nation that the introduction of Sharia law for Muslims in the United Kingdom, quotes, seems unavoidable. The fact that British Muslims do not relate, as Williams put it, to the British legal system is sufficient for him to call for Sharia courts to be set up to deal with Muslim marital and financial disputes. Adopting such parts of Muslim law would, according to him, and again I quote, help maintain social cohesion. Williams told the BBC that an approach to law which simply said there's one law for everybody and that's all there is to be said and anything else that commands your loyalty or allegiance is completely irrelevant in the processes of the courts, I think that's a bit dangerous. There's a place for finding what would be a constructive accommodation with some aspects of Muslim law, as we already do with some other aspects of religious law. This is incredible. Muslims have flocked into Britain and now complain that the British legal system is not compatible with their culture. So what does Rowan Williams propose? That Muslims do what all the rest of the citizens of the country do and obey the law, or have it changed for all citizens by due parliamentary process? No, he suggests that Britain should set up special courts for Muslims outside the state legal system, courts with standards that are foreign to Britain's legal tradition and that deal with only a segment of the population. And, astonishingly, according to the Archbishop, this legal segregation will lead to greater social cohesion. Now, the last time I looked at a dictionary, cohesion carried the idea of a tendency to stick together. How setting up segregated Muslim courts will lead Muslims and non-Muslims to stick together, or will enable Muslims to assimilate into the mainstream of British life, is beyond me. And I suspect it's beyond anyone but noodle-headed liberals who have no deep attachment to the beliefs and practices that underlie Britain's constitution. Rowan Williams assures us nobody in their right mind would want to see in this country the kind of inhumanity that's sometimes been associated with the practice of the law in some Islamic states, the extreme punishments, the attitudes to women as well. But that inhumanity is precisely what we would get. Already, Muslim girls have been murdered by fathers or brothers in what Muslims call honor killings. Imagine what would happen if a Muslim party to a marital dispute decided he or she didn't want to be judged by Sharia law. And imagine what will happen when, having got their exclusive Muslim courts, Muslims decide to demand the right to devise their own system of punishments. or even the extension of Sharia law to the entire population. The simple truth is that Muslims, like all other sections of the community, can appoint third-party mediators to decide disputes, but all are ultimately answerable to the legal code of the state. To call for a segregated court system is foolish, dangerous, and, I may add, in open defiance of the standard God set up in Israel long ago. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Exodus 12:49, the same as taught in Leviticus 24:22 and Numbers 15:16. I believe the Lord knows more about a just legal system than Rowan Williams, so we should heed him, and not the Archbishop.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke, commencing the reading in chapter 18 and carrying it on into chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, starting at verse 35 and reading then the first 10 verses of chapter 19 as well. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. Critics of the Word of God have had a field day with this passage in Luke 18 and with its parallel passages in Matthew 20 and Mark chapter 10. These critics charge the gospel writers with hopeless confusion and a series of contradictions in the details of recording the story of the healing of the blind in Jericho. As usual, of course, it's not the scripture or its writers who are confused, but the critics. If you keep in mind that Jericho was by this time a populous city, indeed some scholars estimate that around this time its population may have reached to all of 100,000 souls. If you keep in mind therefore that it was a populous city, that at that time blind people abounded throughout the land of Israel, I don't think it will seem at all strange that there should be multiple healings of the blind in one area, or that in choosing to make their record of these events, the three gospel writers should fasten upon a different healing for their record. If you attend very carefully to what Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us, I think you'll find that they record possibly two, I personally believe three, distinct healings of blind men involving a total of four people. I say that because of the details. In Luke 18, verse 35, we read, As he drew near unto Jericho, an unnamed blind beggar man cried for mercy. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we read, As he went out of Jericho, a named blind man, Bartimaeus, cried for mercy. And then in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, we read that as they departed, or went away from, leaving in their wake, as it were, as they departed from Jericho, two more blind men cried for mercy. And as you examine, you'll find that there are other differences in the details, but certainly we find there is something happening as he drew near to the city, something happening as he was leaving the city, and something happening after he had left the city. Now again, let me repeat that one or more than one blind man in Jericho should cry for healing is certainly nothing unusual. That Christ should answer and perform very similar miracles is surely not difficult to believe. And yet, when you come to what the scholars have to say in this passage, they mangle it. Even those who are generally very orthodox, they stumble over it. They tell us it's incredible to believe that there should be three miracles so similar, so close together. I wonder why. It's incredible to believe that the words of the blind man should be so similar. I wonder why. I would put it to you that if a blind man sitting on Lawrence Road heard a noise and he said, "Who's passing by?" and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." I think that that would cause a stir. I don't think it would be very difficult to believe that if then the crowd were coming along Haywood Road, another blind man crying out, "What's happening?" would have heard, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Is it hard to believe that he might even have discerned that another like him had been healed? That he had cried, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me," and he decided to cry the same thing? There's nothing incredible about it. There's nothing even far-fetched about it. There's nothing even that would in any way tax the imagination. What does tax the imagination is how others try to explain it. No less than Archbishop Trenchard, the great Bishop Ryle, a man whose commentaries on the four Gospels are, in my opinion, the very best that any has ever written. And that's saying a whole lot, mind you. But that's how I estimate John Charles Ryle. Counted it one of the great pleasures I had in visiting Liverpool to visit his gravesite and take pictures of where he and his wife lay. Not get into all that at this point in time. But even Ryle said, he could only come to the conclusion that one man cried for mercy as Jesus was entering Jericho, but the Lord Jesus didn't answer him until the next day as he was leaving. And Matthew adds another little detail that there happened to be another one beside him. To me, that's a whole lot more incredible. I never find the Lord Jesus keeping them waiting till the next day. Is there another blind man, another lame man, another deaf man that the Lord Jesus ignored for over a day? I don't think so. So something happened. A blind man was healed on the way in. A blind man was healed on the way out. Two blind men were healed after he had left. Anything difficult there? I don't think so. Just a little word in passing. Always pay attention to the details of Scripture when you're reading. An awful lot of these so-called difficulties will disappear when you actually pay attention to the details of what the Bible actually says. And never believe what the critics say when they contradict Scripture. They're always wrong. There's no possibility of them being anything else but wrong. For the Bible is never wrong. Settle that in your mind as you start out. It'll make your Bible reading a whole lot easier and a whole lot better. Furthermore, never believe that because two things are similar, they must refer to the same event. If that were so, a whole lot of you would be bigamists. Because I have done a lot of weddings here. Many of them have been very similar. They've had the same order of service, the same hymns. They've even had the same ugly duckling up in the front doing the work. And yet they have been totally different events. So these are just some things by the way. The thing that interests me is this. That as well as these blind men before he, as he entered, as he left, and after he had left, as well as them being healed, for good measure, we read in Luke 19 of what the Lord Jesus did when he was in the city, which was an even greater miracle, when he transformed this man, Zacchaeus.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepress.org. That's faithfpc@freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepress.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.